The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA. We are on board with you.
This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. Today is Sunday, July 14th. The fleet continues to catch some fish as they celebrate a huge price increase for their catch. It looks like most of the major processors have posted $1.50 a pound for sockeye as a base price. Stay tuned for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. But first, here are the latest announcements from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon with an announcement for Igigik and Ugashik District commercial fishermen. The time of this announcement is 12 noon and the date is Sunday, July 14th. In Igigik, catch from yesterday's opener was 41,000. Through July 13th, cumulative catch is 4.7 million. Escapement yesterday was 3,000. Cumulative escapement is 1.1 million. The subsistence fishing period in the Igigik district that was open until further notice is now closed. However, subsistence fishing will still be permitted during any commercial fishing periods. Commercial fishing will be permitted within the waters of the Igigik district with drift gill nets from 12 noon, Sunday, July 14th, until 9 a.m., Wednesday, July 17th. The fall fishing schedule of 9 a.m. Mondays to 9 a.m. Fridays will take effect at that time. In Ugashik, catch from yesterday's opener was 30,000. Through July 13th, cumulative catch is 2 million. Escapement for July 13th was 108,000, and cumulative escapement is 650,000. Commercial fishing will be permitted in the Ugashik district with drift gill nets from 12 noon, Sunday, July 14th, until 9 a.m. Wednesday, July 17th. The fall fishing schedule of 9 a.m. Mondays to 9 a.m. Fridays will take effect at that time. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon with an announcement for commercial permit holders in the Naknek-Quijek District. The time is 12 noon and the date is Saturday, July 13th. The cumulative count through July 12th for the Naknek River was 930,000 sockeye. For the Quijek River, it was 2.1 million. The Naknek-Quijek District will open for drift gillnet gear to the following schedule. 8.5-hour period from 4:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Sunday, July 14th. A 7.5-hour period from 5:30 p.m. Sunday, July 14th to 1 a.m. Monday, July 15th. An 8-hour period from 5 a.m. until 1 p.m. Monday, July 15th. A 7.5-hour period from 6:30 p.m. Monday, July 15th to 2 a.m. Tuesday, July 16th. A 7.5-hour period from 6 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 16th. And a 13.5-hour period from 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 16th to 9 a.m. Wednesday, July 17th. Fall schedule begins 9 a.m. Wednesday, July 17th as follows. 9 a.m. Monday to 9 a.m. Friday until September 30th, 2013. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
This is KDLG, Dillingham. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. As large portions of the fleet pull their boats and book flights out of the bay, the processors have started posting prices. $1.50 a pound appears to be the base price. KDLG News has learned that Leader Creek, AGS, Icicle, and Peter Pan have all posted $1.50 as their base price. We learned that Leader Creek is offering a bonus of 15 cents a pound for what they call best fish, which at its heart is fish chilled at the point of harvest. Leader Creek is also apparently offering another 5 cents for bleeding. over in Togiak. Togiak Seafoods confirms they're paying $1.20 a pound for delivered sockeye that are iced and bled. Togiak Seafoods is also buying kings, $3 a pound for kings over 11 pounds, $1.50 for kings less than 11 pounds. Togiak Seafoods is also paying 40 cents for chums. If you have information about the price and the bonuses your processor is paying, you can send me an email to mike@kdlg.org. You can also give me a call at 842-5281. This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, 1-800-816-3741.
A good portion of the catching power in Bristol Bay is gone, as many fishermen are calling it a season. It looks like much of the fleet in the Nooshigak District has called it quits, as the boatyards in Dillingham are filling up. The same is being seen in the other boatyards in Naknek and King Salmon. While the season is winding down, there are still some sockeye being harvested. Saturday, the baywide harvest was 175,000 fish. The harvest in the Naknek-Quijack district was 70,000, pushing the season total to over 4.8 million. Saturday's catch in the Igigik district was 42,000 sockeye, pushing the total to over 4.7 million. In the Nooshigak district, the catch Saturday was just 16,000 sockeye, pushing the total to above 3.1 million. Down in the Ugashik district, the harvest Saturday was 32,000, pushing the total to over 2.1 million. And the harvest Saturday in the Togiak district was 15,000 sockeye, pushing the total to above 257,000 fish. Through Saturday, total harvest in Bristol Bay is 15.1 million. That's well over a million fish short of the commercial harvest anticipated in the preseason forecast. Fishing time has been liberalized across all four of the major effort districts, and the Togiak district is still on the weekly schedule. The Nooshigak district has basically been wide open for commercial fishing, and area management biologist Tim Sands says it will stay that way for a little while longer.
We'll probably switch over to coho management around 23rd of July. At this point, I'm not expecting there to be any interest from the major buyers for coho, so we'll just have to play that by ear as far as escapement goes, but probably not too much of a coho fishery without a major processor around.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports that on average there were 121 sockeye per drift delivery Saturday in the Nooshigak district. The number was 125 in the Togiak district. The average delivery number in the Naknek-Quijack district was 102 and 147 in the Igigik district. The average delivery number in the Ugashik district was 207. All of the counted rivers in Bristol Bay have met or exceeded their escaping goals, except for the Togiak River, which usually features a later run. Through Saturday, the goal to the Togiak River was the total to the Togiak River was 41,100. The escaping goal is 150,000 sockeye. Two of the counted rivers in the Nooshigak district are over the upper end of the escapement goals. The Agushik River is over the goal by about 62,000 fish. The Nooshigak River is about 42,000 fish over the goal. Escapement to the Quijack River is just over 2 million, which matches the adjusted escapement goal for the Quijack based on a new run estimate. And the Igigik and Wood Rivers are right at their midpoints, and the Ugashik River is coming on strong with another 107.6 thousand fish counted Saturday, pushing the season total to over 649.7 thousand. However, Fishing Game's estimating there are another 150,000 sockeye that have not yet been counted as escapement. Through Saturday, the total run to Bristol Bay has been counted at over 22.5 million sockeye. That's just shy of 4 million fish short of the preseason forecast. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue in a moment. This is KDLG Public Radio, and you're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. A major response effort is underway to remove the fuel from a sunken fishing tender sitting in the mouth of the Agushik River, which is one of the large salmon-producing rivers in the bay. Coast Guard Petty Officer Patrick Brown is the Federal On-Scene Coordinator's representative on the ground in Dillingham. He confirms that a fuel sheen was seen coming from the Lone Star Saturday, despite the successful effort last week to plug the fuel vents on the vessel. Brown confirms that the two primary work platforms for the response effort showed up Saturday from Dutch Harbor. The Magone Marine-owned tug Double Eagle and the response vessel Western Viking will both be used in the lightering effort.
So we're making progress when it comes to lightering. They're going to have to get set up. They're going to have to set some anchors because, as I've said before, the tidal conditions and the current get pretty crazy out there. So they have to set up their anchors, make sure their operation is safe and secure. And we're looking at, right now, the projected time frame to actually start lightering, hopefully Monday, Tuesday, somewhere in that time frame, where we can actually start the operation of beginning lightering the vessel and getting the diesel off board.
The Lone Star is carrying over 13.7 thousand gallons of diesel fuel, along with significant quantities of hydraulic fluid, lube oil, and gasoline. Brown says the tides and the currents in the mouth of the Agushik River will likely make it difficult to get all of the fuel off the vessel quickly.
We don't want to put the environment at any risk. So as of right now, the plan is to start the lightering operation during slack tide, and based on the environmental conditions, the tide and weather and such, if it looks as though it would be hazardous to continue pumping the fuel off board, which the high current associated with the tide would be, they're probably going to slow down, stop, that way we don't put the environment at any risk, and start up again when the current slowed down.
That could result in the lightering effort taking several tides or even days to complete. Petty Officer Brown notes that three members of the Coast Guard's Pacific Strike Team are on scene to assist in the effort to get the fuel off the Lone Star and recover the vessel from its location in the mouth of the Agushik River.
They're basically specialized in this sort of operation. They're part of the National Strike Force, and we have three strike teams, Pacific, Gulf, and Atlantic strike teams. And their whole purpose is to augment like sector anchorage, the unit I'm from, so that if we're short-staffed or if we don't have the skilled personnel, say in lightering or salvage or whatever the situation may be, they bring some more specialized training and experience to the table to make sure that these operations go smoothly.
The Lone Star sank in 18 feet of water in the Agushik River on June 30th. It's still carrying 35,000 pounds of fish. The sinking has resulted in the entire Agushik section of the Nooshigak District being closed to set net effort, and there's a large 6-mile closure for the drifters around the mouth of the Agushik River. Those closures will remain in effect until the Lone Star is recovered from its current location. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue. This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. Icicle Seafoods is the new owner and operator of the Wood River Processing Plant in Dillingham. This season, they've been buying mainly from Nooshigak Driftnet fishermen and processing H&G and premium fillets, adding a little more market competition to the west side. KDLG's Dave Binegar stopped by last Friday and took a quick tour.
Ownership of the Wood River Seafood Processing Plant in Dillingham has changed hands several times over the years. Last year, it sat mostly idle under snowpack, but it's been a different story in 2013 under new owner, Icicle Seafoods. Samantha Russell is the plant manager.
We're trying to get the plant up on its feet and processing, which we were successful in doing for both herring and salmon. You know, it came with the challenges of the spring that we had this year, getting in here in April, but I would say overall it was pretty successful startup.
Icicle Wood River processed some 1,800 tons of block frozen herring this spring, and Russell says this summer they've been testing their capacity for salmon.
You know, our capacity here, if we needed it to be, could be up to 500, 600,000 pounds a day, round pounds a day. You know, we were doing a lot of testing with our freezer just to push it to the limit there, but yeah, 500,000 or 600,000 pounds a day.
On the lines were workers from all over the U.S., and staffing this summer peaked at about 280.
A lot of them, first time up north, first time processing. quite the experience for them.
Now the processing tempo is evidently slowing, and many workers have taken transfers to Petersburg, Seward, and Larson Bay to continue their seasons. Icicle Wood River is now scaled back to just one processing shift per day. And last Friday, Russell gave a quick tour, starting with the three H&G lines.
You know, pretty simple operation, you know, really just consistent poundage, a nice clean product, and this is where it all starts here. So from here, we'll pull out fish to send down to our fillet program on the grading line. And
a dozen or so workers are on the two fillet lines, where the fish are collared, split, and trimmed to spec, the latter done by hand. A machine pulls out the majority of the pin bones. Russell says about 15 fish per minute per line is a good pace. The fillets are graded, and the premium goes into vac-sealed bags. At the end of the line, nicely packaged, market-ready fillets are waiting to go to the freezer.
You know, a finished fillet product here, number one fillet product. We think it looks really sharp in this new bag, and we're really hoping that it's well-received on the market. Nice little grilled salmon recipe on the back. We're hoping it's ready to go. People want to buy it off the shelves.
Those fillets are likely bound for domestic store shelves, and as they continue to come off the line, Russell can't help but express some pride in the product Icicle Wood River is putting to market in its first year.
Yeah, we couldn't be more proud of the product going off the line here this year. Every person has been trained, and we spent a lot of time getting it right the first time because, first impression here at Wood River Icicle is important to us. So the product going off the line right now, I'd put it up against just about anybody's.
The Wood River plant receives fish from tenders at the high tide, and Russell said they had no problems taking deliveries from up to three tenders per tide this year. Most of Icicle Wood River salmon, for this year at least, came from West Side drifters.
We've gotten a little bit from Quijack recently, but most all of our processing has been from the Noosh here.
Of course, the million-dollar question is always the hardest to answer. What about the price?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm just a glorified fish processor. I don't do pricing.
Russell says things are working out well at Wood River, and they're finding Dillingham a good place to do business.
We're pretty darn happy with the location. You know, we're happy being in Dillingham. There's a lot of local businesses that we lean on to help get this plant up and going that a lot of our remote locations don't have, and so we feel pretty lucky to be here in Dillingham.
They donated 90 pounds of fresh fillets to the Dillingham Chamber of Commerce's 4th of July barbecue, 50 pounds of king and 40 pounds of reds. Russell says Icicle is committed to the location and plans to keep growing.
We've got some big stuff planned, and it's just a matter of time and getting those things done. But Icicle's committed to this plant, very committed in the success of this plant and whatever it's going to take to get it up to where they want it to be.
Things are quickly winding down for 2013, but next year the plan is to buy pinks and silvers and keep operations running a little later into the summer. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
The annual Port Moeller test fishery wrapped up on July the 6th, but the data from the test fishery keeps trickling in. On Thursday, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game released some analysis of what stocks moved through the five stations fished as part of that test fishery. Tyler Dan is the fisheries geneticist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He admits that there were some consistent patterns this year in regards to fish passage through the Port Moeller test fishery area.
We see, in general, more east side stocks on the inshore stations and more west side stocks on the offshore stations.
A look at the data for the inshore stations of 2 and 4 shows that 33.6% of the analyzed sockeye were bound for the Igigik River. Just over 20% were headed for the Ugashik River. The genetic signal for Quijack River sockeye at stations 2 and 4 was 17.5% and 9.3% for the sockeye while we're bound for the Naknek River. The signal for the North Peninsula was 11.9%. Dan confirms that there was enough data for stations 6, 8, and 10 to get a genetic estimate for different portions of the run through the test fishery area. The data shows that there were significant genetic signals for Igigik sockeye detected across stations 6, 8, and 10 throughout all portions of the run. Dan says Igigik fish were seen in great strength, especially early in the run through the test fishery area.
Igigik, for that first time period in any station, was one of the dominant stocks, especially at station 6. And if you look at what the catch pattern was for the early catches at Port Moeller, say through the 20th, a majority of those catches came from Station 6, and the big peak days in that early period were from Station 6. And when we look at that first period of Station 6, Igigik was over 40% of the mixture. So Igigik definitely had a big proportion early on.
At Station 6, between June the 10th and the 20th, the genetic signal for Igigik fish was 40.8%. Between June the 21st and the 25th, the Igigik genetic signal at Station 6 was 30.7%, and between June the 26th and the 6th of July, the Igigik signal was 29.4%. Dan says the data from Stations 8 and 10 shows that between June the 10th and the 20th, there was a strong signal for Nooshigak River-bound sockeye, which coincides with the strong push of Nooshigak sockeye seen in the escapement numbers.
When we look at the two-day set of estimates from June 18 and 19, we saw a 19% Nooshigak contribution. And that's really big for what we've seen historically. And maybe even more noteworthy is that not the 19%, but the Wood River estimate was 4.2. So it's about a 5-to-1 ratio of Nooshigak to Wood. And we normally see that flip the other way, where we'll see maybe a 4-to-1 Wood to Nooshigak ratio. So that was really surprising.
Another surprising result in the new genetic information is the relative strength of the Quijack River stock across all five stations fished in the Port Mueller test fishery. For instance, 17.5% of the sockeye caught in stations 2 and 4 showed a genetic signal for the Quijack River. At Station 6, the genetic signal for Quijack River fish was nearly 22% between June the 21st and the 25th. Out at Stations 8 and 10, the Quijack River genetic signal was a whopping 32% in the sockeye caught between June the 26th and July 6th. Dan says all of the Naknek Quijack stocks showed up in strength across all of the stations fished in the Port Mueller test fishery.
Really, all the Naknek Quijack stocks, Naknek, Alagnek, and Quijack, are maybe more variable than others in terms of where they're typically caught in the test fishery in space and time. So the results we saw in 2013 mirrored very closely to what we saw in a summary of the 2006 to 10 results. And that is that Quijack are caught all throughout the test fishery, but in general tend to be centered around 6 and 8, and more often later in the season at higher proportions. But yeah, you know, everybody considers Naknek Quijack an east side district and those to be east side stocks, but they're kind of centered in the middle and are really pretty variable relative to Igigik, Ugashik, and those stocks in the Nooshigak district.
The latest genetic information from the Port Mueller test fishery can be found on the website of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Gene Conservation Laboratory. The annual Port Mueller test fishery wrapped up on the 6th of July. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue in a moment. Listening to Gate KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Next year, a new seafood processor will enter the Bristol Bay market in a big way. Silver Bay Seafoods is busy building a huge 53,000 square foot processing plant in Naknek on the shore of the Naknek River. The plan is to have the plant up and running in time for the 2014 Togiak Sacro herring fishery. Chris Hansen is the fleet manager for Silver Bay Seafoods, and he confirms the facility will utilize a pumping system to move herring and salmon from the tenders in the Naknek River.
It's going to be a barge, 175 foot long, 44 wide, okay, out. And then another one, it's sister ship, Tannet. So 175 and 44.
Okay.
Anchored down there, that's where we'll have two pumps, and they'll pump fish from there up through here to the corner of that building.
Construction of the actual processing plant got started earlier this year, and much of the shell is already up. It's a very noticeable blue color and can clearly be seen from the Alaska Peninsula Highway just up the road from Leader Creek Seafoods. Hansen confirms the goal is for the plant to have a capacity to process about 2.4 million pounds of product a day during the sockeye season.
It's like you're filling a van every 30 minutes. I mean, it's truly a lot of fish can be frozen out of it.
Silver Bay Seafoods plans to produce primarily frozen H&G and fillets out of the new plant, but Hansen confirmed that the company will also be utilizing some of the waste products.
That's the grinder. And what we're going to do is we grind the heads and the guts, and we freeze it also and sell it as a cat food deal. So then, anyway, that's frozen here. That's grinded up here. Then it goes pumping over there where they just fill up trays. So we're using the whole fish. Okay. Now, if we need that whole freezer for just flesh because we're so far behind, then we grind it and it goes outfall. Yeah. And we have that permit.
Silver Bay Seafoods plans on running their facility in Naknek with a workforce of about 250. And Hansen says the processing plant is big enough to be expanded.
We can take and put a ceiling up this whole length and double that space. We want to put in fillet lines, can lines, whatever else, steaks, value added, just to maximize the resource.
Silver Bay Seafoods had three wells put in on their property to supply water for the processing operations, and Hansen says the company's been working with the Bristol Bay Borough to minimize the impacts to the borough's old and overworked sewer system.
The borough is worried about what we might produce, so at the peak of the season, we'll truck ours down. Non-peak, we can just flush the toilet, we're good. And city power.
Silver Bay Seafoods was formed by investor fishermen in 2006, and the company's plant in Sitka came online in 2007. The company also operates seafood processing plants in Craig and Valdez. The new plant in Bristol Bay was funded in part by over 150 Bristol Bay fishermen that purchased shares. According to the prospectus that was sent to fishermen, they could buy a 0.1% share in the new company called Silver Bay Seafoods Naknek LLC for $25,000. Hansen confirms the company plans to only take in fish that have been chilled at the point of harvest. He says the company's fishing fleet will be exclusively an RSW fleet, except for one fisherman who plans to use slush ice.
This fleet is the best fleet ever put together. It just is. It's crazy. They're like killers. They're 70% D permits, which is, that's 36, 38% more fish.
Silver Bay Seafoods is not releasing exact costs, but the processing plant in Naknek is thought to cost above $25 million. The plant will be first used to process herring from next year's Togiak Sacro herring fishery. Hansen says the company's fishermen will have the opportunity to enter the Togiak herring fishery if they want to go.
Everyone can go play. Everyone has an opportunity to go to Togiak. Whether they choose to or not, it's not up to us. We're not saying you can't go. Right? Everybody can go. And we're going to have a pretty good fleet.
Hansen confirms that Silver Bay already has its tender fleet for next year signed up, and the company plans to provide tender services in the Ugashik, Igigik, Naknek, Quijack, and Nushigak districts. In the prospectus that was sent to fishermen, Silver Bay Seafoods admits they plan to buy 18% of the annual driftnet sockeye harvest in Bristol Bay, and the company hopes to buy about 30% of the annual Togiak Sacro herring harvest. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue. Listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on listener-supported public radio, KDLG. One of the world's biggest and most eco-friendly cod longliners has begun its maiden journey. The 184-foot Northern Leader has left the shipyard. After 2 weeks of final outfitting in Seattle, it should be fishing for cod in the Bering Sea this coming August. KDLG's Ben Matheson has the story.
The Northern Leader has connections to Bristol Bay. It's owned by Alaskan Leader Fisheries, of which BBEDC is a 50% owner. The new $30 million vessel is the largest freezer longliner built in the U.S. and is the biggest ever in terms of fish hold and freezing capacity. It features some eco-friendly technology that's new to the fishing fleet. It's the first fishing vessel in the country to use a hybrid diesel-electric propulsion system.
When we lose the docks, we're running out with using fuel and then when we get out in the fishing grounds, we'll switch over to electricity. And the savings of these engines, the way they're combined, they'll probably save close to $500,000 in today's fuel price, which makes the boat very competitive.
Robin Samuelson is board chair of BBEDC. The advanced propulsion system does not require any transmission, according to Nick Delaney, the managing director and vice chairman for Alaskan Leader Fisheries.
If you can imagine kind of almost like oversized outboard engines from the shaft down to the propeller that can turn 360 degrees, and powering those are electric motors that sit on top of them. So there's no shaft, there's no transmission, there's none of that stuff, because basically you can go full forward to full reverse without going in and out of gear. There's no transmission. You don't need it because you just turn the position of the propeller unit.
Freezers can hold 1.8 million pounds of fish. The line's 76,000 hooks will be automatically baited with technology from Norway. The vessel can harvest up to 62 million pounds of fish per year. It will target Alaskan cod, sablefish, and other groundfish species. The Northern Leader is the first longliner in the Bering Sea to take a nearly full harvest of the fish. By utilizing cod heads, they can use 85% to 95% of the fish instead of the standard 50% to 55%.
They get dried here in Pacific Northwest or in eastern Canada, and then they get shipped to markets in Nigeria and Ghana, and it represents a tremendous amount of the fish ends up back in the Bering Sea the way it is now, but there is definitely economic value.
In addition to the energy savings and maximum yield of each fish, Delaney highlights the environmental advantages of longlining that are less intrusive than trawl operations.
Baited hooks have a tendency to catch the targeted species that you're fishing for, so there's not a lot of bycatch. There's none of the issues that some of the trawl fisheries face in the Bering Sea are ever an issue with longliners. So you basically not only leave little footprint behind after fishing there, but you also tend to catch the largest members of the species. So you're not catching a lot of immature fish, and you're not catching a lot of bycatch.
Alaskan Leader Fisheries signed the contract with Martinac Shipyard in Tacoma in December of 2011. Construction began in March of 2012 and continued through June of this year. It should be fishing by about August 15th, beginning with Alaskan cod. Robin Samuelson says it's a big investment, but it should make money in the Bering Sea.
Cod prices are down right now, and we're still looking at for this vessel to be turning a profit and bringing them dollars back into the region.
The Northern Leader will have a crew of 24 or 25. Samuelson says residents of Bristol Bay will have a chance to work aboard the Alaskan Leader fleet.
We negotiate with them when we become owners that our people are entitled to them jobs, and we try to provide as many people as we can with jobs in all aspects of BBDC's operation. The best way to get, if you're interested in on longliner, a crab vessel, a pollock vessel, inshore or offshore pollock vessels, is get a hold of Pearl Strube and Char Lopez at the BBDC office. They have the forums, and that'll start the process.
A christening is scheduled for July 31st. They hope to have the governors of Washington and Alaska in attendance, as well as some local participation.
Heidi Albrecker is on the board from Ugashik, and she'll be breaking the bottle of champagne over the bow.
The Northern Leader will be homeported in Kodiak. It will be captained by Sean Andrew, the company's top captain since the early 90s. In Dillingham, I'm Ben Matheson.
As the sockeye run to Bristol Bay is winding down, we turn our attention to the commercial fisheries to the south. Much of the North Peninsula area of Area M is closed to commercial fishing, and the harvests have been very low. Bob Murphy is the ADF&G area management biologist based in Port Moeller, and he says the North Peninsula sockeye runs showed up early, much like the run to Bristol Bay.
We thought we were looking pretty early, pretty good shape for some of our runs, and then they just kind of faded off real quick. So, you know, everybody says in a salmon world, every year is different, and this, in my 24th year here in Port Moeller, is definitely one of the more different ones. So we haven't seen anything like this, and it's just kind of an odd year for sure.
Most of the weir counts in the North Peninsula area peaked around the 25th of June, which Murphy confirms is about 10 days early. Murphy believes that Fish and Game was able to get the weirs in on time to catch the early runs.
We did at Bear River, Sandy, and Illinois Rivers. We believe we got the weirs in early enough there. The one weir that we got the weir in a little late on was Nelson River, just a couple days late mainly. We put the weir in and we instantly started seeing fish. We tried to put the weir there in mainly at the latter part of May, but we had some high water events. We pulled the crew out because they couldn't get the weir in, and we brought them back when the water levels came down and it was safe for our crew to put the weir in. And they got the weir in and they instantly started seeing fish. So we actually know we missed some fish at Nelson River, but to account for that, we did the best we could and gave what we call a pre-weir estimate of knowing that we lost some fish. And based on an aerial survey, we look like we missed just a few thousand fish, but we counted those fish by aerial survey shortly after the weir was put in, because we knew we missed some. We flew a survey upriver and counted those fish. So we had those fish accounted for in our escapement.
Sockeye escapement to the Nelson River through Friday was counted at 241,000 fish. That is within the escapement goal range of 179 to 474,000. Murphy confirms that the North Peninsula is currently on track to reach all of the sockeye escapement goals. However, he is concerned.
Just how weak they have been, essentially. We have a lot of fisheries that are closed right now. In the Bear River and Three Hills sections, we've only fished 2.5 days the whole entire season. In the Illinois section, we will only fish for 48 hours the entire season. And right now, the two goals that we have hit for sure for the season-ending goals are Nelson River and Meshick River. We fly aerial surveys on Meshick River, which is up in Port Hyden, and we have about 75,000 fish in the river, and we expect that number to probably grow as the fish migrate upriver and we get a little better look at them. They're still in the lower stretches of the river, and as time goes on, they'll move upriver in a little more clear water. So we're struggling for our goals at Bear and Sandy and Illinois. We're on track to all of them right now. Our July 10th goals are all met. But we still have the fleet closed, basically, because we know that the runs were early now, and we're just struggling to hit our season and escapement goals over the next week to two to three.
Through Friday, the total sockeye harvest in the North Peninsula area was over 544.3 thousand fish, with over 342,000 taken in the Port Moeller to Outer Port Hyden area, 185,000 were taken in the Nelson Lagoon area, 5,000 were taken in the Northwestern District, an additional 11,400 were taken in the Black Hills area. Murphy says those are low harvest numbers.
Catches are probably going to be, for the North Peninsula, are probably going to be some of the worst in the last probably close to 40 years. So we're going to have the lowest harvest in the last, you know, probably since the early 70s by the time it's all said and done. We have a late Bear River run that begins in August at Bear River for sockeye salmon, and right now we've got our fingers crossed and hope that that's going to be a good one. That's our hope right now, is that our August catches are going to be decent and our August Bear River late sockeye run will be a good one. So right now it's just kind of shaping up to be one of the worst harvest years in the last 40 years, and we're also just, you know, hoping that we can maintain our escapement goals where we're at right now and hit for Bear River, Sandy, and Illinois, hit those goals by the end of the season. And we're on track to hit them. We have been for the last 3 weeks, but right now we're just kind of worried about the runs tapering so fast that we can at least squeak them out.
And through Wednesday, the total sockeye harvest in all of Area M was over 2.2 million. Over 1 million of those sockeye were taken in the June South Unimac fishery. Another 496.6 thousand sockeye were taken in the June Shumigan Islands fishery. You can find the latest harvest and escapement numbers for Area M, including the North Peninsula, on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's website. And that concludes today's edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Please join me next Friday at 4 for the next report, and the reports and all of the past reports can be found online at kdlg.org. And if you have something to add to our program, please send me an email to mike@kdlg.org, or you can call 842-5281. Until next time, please be safe, watch the weather, and stay tuned to KDLG Public Radio.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA. We are on board with you.